our agenda is here. Today on the agenda, it's mostly just a sync up. We've had a lot of things happen over the past week, so this meeting is just mainly to just sync up with all the work that's going on and figure out what next steps are based on what's happened over the last week and a half. So today on the agenda, we have a review of the web payments interest group face-to-face in New York City, updates from the Badge Alliance. I think a number of things happened that would be good for the group to know about if you guys can share, and a kind of renewed focus on recruiting new members based on discussions around agenda item 1 and 2. Is there anything else that we need to discuss today on the call? Anything else we should cover? Okay, if there's nothing else, let's go ahead and talk about the web payments face-to-face. We had three discussions about credentials at the web payments face-to-face in New York City last week. Thank you again for Richard and Eric for coming for those meetings. It really helped to have them in the room talking about credentials from the standpoint of both education and healthcare. Let me pause for a second. 609 area code, who is that?
Laura Fowler, ETS.
Hey, Laura. So it was good to have Eric and Richard in the room. Unfortunately, I do not think the credentials discussion went very well. So let me start off by saying the plan, and this was discussed with the W3C staff and the chairs, the plan was to talk about use cases around credentials, specifically related to payments. And we started discussing that, and unfortunately, the discussion was quickly derailed by some of the newer members who had no idea what we were talking about, and unfortunately had not read any of the background material, nor had looked at any of the community group's work, nor the executive summary. So the initial reaction was we should absolutely not put credentials in the critical path for the payments work, full stop. So that those sentiments were, I think, echoed most strongly by Google, people from the Google Chrome team, so the Chrome browser, and Mozilla, which is, you know, as Nate and Sonny, that was weird. But the person from Mozilla that was kind of arguing against it was, you know, David Barron and Adam Untner. So those are folks that work more on the MozPay Firefox OS side than the Open Badges side of it. So we almost immediately hit stiff opposition. Because some of the newer members were completely unaware of the work. So what they thought we were proposing was to put the credentials work in the critical path and put it into the web payments working group, which was not the proposal at all, but that's the message that they got after the first 15 minutes. We only had an hour to discuss this. We had 35 to 40 people in the room, and so once we started heading down that path, it was very difficult to get everyone back on track. The good news is that both Eric and Richard were able to jump in and say, hey, this is important for education, this is important for healthcare, it's not just payments that are interested in it, and so we were able to kind of talk a bit more about why credentials are important. The other group in the room that was very that wanted to see the credentials work proceed were the ones that had been there for a while and understood what we were working on. So a lot of the banks and financial industry folks in the room said that they're not interested in a payment solution that also does not take identity and credentialing deeply into account. So that was the first meeting. It was it didn't go very well, but it was decided that it's a hot topic, meaning that we should discuss it on the second day, but we should discuss it in a breakout session. So we had a breakout session with around 10 people in the breakout session the day after. And within 5 minutes, the group came to the conclusion that we should do a credentials working group and the work should proceed in parallel to the payments work, which was the initial proposal on the table. So that was good. It happened very quickly, and there was agreement in the breakout session. We brought that to the main group and basically said, you know, this is what the group found. We should do a credentials working group, and it should be in parallel. And we requested time on the third day to talk about credentials. And at that point, the staff contact and the chairs felt that the new members in the room did not want to talk about credentials anymore. They felt that it was discussed enough and that we should regroup and talk about it at some later point in time. Now, the problem with that is the end result is we got no formal closure on this proposal to create a credentials working group. I did speak with the staff contact and chairs, and they said, yes, we know, we heard loud and clear that people were interested in credentials, but it looks like the group is split. I disagree with that viewpoint. I think we had a number of people that were new to the group that were very loud, but I took each one of those people aside during the hallway discussion and actually talked about the proposal that was on the table, which is credential group in parallel, based off of things like Mozilla Persona and open badges and the identity credential stuff. And once that was proposed, they backed off and they said, oh yeah, that sounds like a reasonable thing to do, right? So the people that were heavily opposed to it were heavily opposed to putting it in the critical path in the payments group, which was nobody was proposing, and they agreed that it would be something that was good to do. So the good news is that people believe that the credential stuff was something that W3C should do at some point, and at some point means at some point in the next year. But we were not able to get that down as a consensus opinion of the group, which is going to push us back a number of months. So let me stop right there and see if there are any questions or, Richard, Eric, if you guys want to add some.
I have a question. I could add some comment, but I have a question. So given that we didn't ever really envision this being an integral part of the payments part, but related to it and supportive of it and parallel, that was kind of where I thought we were headed. It would be a subgroup or a parallel group. Why are we talking to them as if they're the approval entity when this is really a WC3 conclusion to reach? Is that either one, a working group or an activity around credentials that support this and several other activities that they may be involved with that are web-related or not? So is this just my ignorance about how this works? Explain
it to me, please. It's the reason we're talking with the web payments group is because they actually do need credentials and identity. It's a strong requirement, right? So the banks in the room were like, the banks in the room said, this is a hard requirement for us, right? So if you, unfortunately you weren't there on the second and third day, but the European bank said, this is not an option for us. It is a part of the new regulation, the PSD2 regulation. We have to have a solution to it.
That's one of the
reasons is because the financial companies actually do need this. The other one is because the IG is an official W3C group whose sole purpose is to talk about the architecture around payments and credentials as a part of that, and propose new working groups to start, right? So they can fast-track the work. So if we were able to have gotten the consensus position of the group to say we need a working group created, they would have helped us push the charter through W3C management. If we decide not to involve them, then we have to go through the full W3C process, which is convene the workshop, have people attend the workshop, wait 6 months, do recruiting, yada, yada. So it would take a year to go through that process, and we wanted it up and running by October, right? So at this point, we haven't talked about next steps yet, but So we'll talk about next steps later, but the reason we're talking with this group is it is a hard requirement for the actual financial companies that need to deploy this stuff, and because they have the power to propose new charters, whereas we don't in this group. Did that answer your question?
It answers my question. It was just doing the math. We've been talking about this since October. I guess we could have been done by this October if we had started the long path by now.
Well, yeah. I mean, if we had a bunch of people that we could have gotten together to go to a workshop, which we still don't. So we, you know, the external recruiting part, this group hasn't been able to get that done yet. So I think that's a part of our next steps. That's not to say that, you know, we haven't been making good progress. Like let's say that the workshop was successful, then an interest group would have been created. And so the interest group would be starting about now. And the thing that the interest group would be doing is what this group has been doing for the past year. So we've shortcut that work, at least interest group work, by effectively a year. Right. So it's not that we haven't been making any progress in the group. We're just trying to avoid the creation of an interest group to do of exactly what we've been doing for the last year. The other I think piece of information that's important to know is that W3C staff and the CEO is still unaware of the number of education and healthcare companies that really care about this and want it to start. As far as I spoke with the W3C CEO at length about this, and he said that he doesn't see any education companies or healthcare companies knocking down W3C's door asking them to start this stuff. Right. So we need to change his opinion on that. And the only real way to change his opinion on that is to go out and recruit more people. I mean, we've got the people in this group, but they want to see 30 organizations that are saying, we will join W3C if this work starts.
Hey, Manu, this is Matt Stone. I just rang in.
Hey, Matt. Great to have you here. Let's see. You're 501 area code, is that right?
Yeah, that's me.
Okay.
That's right.
Matt, would you mind doing an introduction to yourself really quickly?
Sure.
Matt Stone. Okay, go ahead.
This is Matt Stone. I'm with Pearson. The division we work that I'm with specifically is Pearson VUE. The VUE organization is responsible for computer-based testing worldwide, generally higher stakes, high security proctored exams in bricks and mortar facilities. For things like accountants and nurses and IT, Cisco and Microsoft and so on. We have a small internal entrepreneurial effort that we started a couple years ago called Acclaim, which is a badging platform. It's using part of the Mozilla Open Badging Standards, OBI. And we also have a product called the Pearson Credential Manager that is designed to manage the requirements for professional certification and licensure and issue those certifications to the professionals that are pursuing them. I run the product engineering group for both Acclaim and Credential Management within Pearson.
Wonderful. Thank you, Matt. And thank you for joining us on the call. We reached out to Matt to see if he would be interested or Pearson would be interested in taking a leadership role in this potential new credentials group at W3C. So Matt's here, I think, to do some due diligence and see what we're up to. So yeah, thanks for joining, Matt.
Sure.
Okay, so let's see, 703 area code, who just joined?
It's Eric again. We just called in on a different phone number.
Okay. All right. So that's kind of where we are with W3C. So we have a number. So the last bit with W3C is on the third day, there was a roundtable where a number of very large financial institutions, the CTO of New York City, I don't think the groups are public yet, but they will be in the next couple of days. But there were a number of very large financial institutions that after they finished the whole presentation, they stood up and they said, I don't see anything about identity and credentials on here. That is the number one thing that we're concerned about when it comes to payments, right? And so hopefully the W3C staff and CEO heard that loud and clear. That there were multiple very large financial institutions that cared about the credentialing identity part of it. So we have to do some follow-up with those organizations that got all their cards and contact information. So to wrap up, I think the mistake that I made was underestimating the amount of influence the new members would have, particularly if they were not educated on what we were doing. So the new members didn't wait to understand the proposal. They started attacking a proposal that wasn't on the table at all. And because we had such a large group in the room, 40 plus people, it was very difficult to combat that. As far as next steps are concerned, I already have calls scheduled with the staff contact at W3C to talk about how, you know, what the next steps around credentials and identity are. I think I'm going to propose that they should do something at TPAC in Japan. Something around identity and credentialing, whether it's a little mini workshop plus a little mini working group. I think it would be good to have it there because we will have 500 of the W3C participants, 500 people there that can provide more input around the identity and credentialing aspect to this. Plus, we could coordinate with the web payments working group again to see if we could kick off a charter. So there's that proposal with W3C. It's also been proposed that we may want to move the work elsewhere. So if W3C doesn't start moving faster on this, clearly the education industry and healthcare industry want to move on this as soon as possible. So perhaps having a new home for it like IMS Global might be better because they have basically bought into, you know, JSON-LD and open badges, and they seem to be fairly aligned with the vision around credentialing. So moving it to an industry standardization body that is more receptive to identity and credentialing may be another strategy that we want to pursue in parallel. Okay, so Eric, I don't know if you wanted to add anything. I know you just joined back in on the call. Did you want to add anything more about the W3C stuff or next steps?
Yeah, so no, I thought you did a good job, Manu, outlining what went on. You know, it was a bit frustrated, but I think we all have to just put in perspective is that this group is really focused on finance and financial and payments. And they don't necessarily, without the investment of time, know, they're not going to really understand the overall opportunity for where credentials and badges and how that can help build their business model out or the use case. But that being said, I don't think we give up. I think we need to get credentials going The only story out of school I will say is that the frustration for me was that during, you know, breakouts and lunch and dinner, there were a lot of support for credentials, but people just didn't speak up. So I think that was the thing that was most frustrating, that the people who were silent should have been more vocal, and the people who were vocal should have been more silent. But look, that's the standards process, and it's not going to deter us. But I do believe, and Richard and I did bring up to Manu the idea of going, perhaps a stronger place for us to move would be IMS Global. It's obvious in relationship with Badge Alliance and the new alignment and some of the things I hope the Badge Alliance will talk about that is announced in the last week or so, really, I think, position us in a stronger place. But it all really comes down to really getting the kind of support from the stakeholders. And being that it was just Richard and I in that room, and we were really limited to only having two guests, we really sort of had the cards stacked against us to a certain extent. So had all of you been there, I think it would have been a little bit different situation. So I think we continue to work. I think we continue to work with IMS, and we continue to work. Of course, the Badge Alliance support now is even stronger than ever, and based on the recent announcement. So I think we just stay the course. And that's the only color I would add.
Okay. Any other?
Can we pile on? Can I pile on that just a minute?
Sure.
There are two kinds of people who spoke up in opposition. People that have a vested interest in doing what they want to do because it benefits their companies. And the other guy who is the most vocal doesn't know much of anything about anything and overstates everything. I mean, the guy was saying stuff about privacy and making comments about stuff that, I mean, God, it was, you know, I felt like I was going back to a grade school listening to somebody, you know, talk about a high school speech or, you know, trying to make a high school speech and they couldn't even do it. It was that bad. And so if you're saying consensus, define consensus for me, because I don't do consensus with people who don't know their head from their ass about anything, and you can't count those people. And if they're counting every vote in the room as consensus, then you're never going to get consensus from the group. I would rather you propose who objects to this and why.
Right.
If you really say there's a support for it from everybody else around the, you know, the room, and there's a stronger support from people who didn't speak up, why not ask the group between meetings, like now that they've had a chance to talk about it and think about it, who, if anybody, objects to this being a parallel effort? And if you don't object to it, what would you like to see it do? So push it back to them as a, you got to opt out of this if you don't want it to happen. Mm-hmm. And secondly, and tell us why. And then secondly, ask the other people what you'd like to see it address to make sure it meets your needs, because we're there to support them with a parallel group, you know, and them us. So I like the both strategy. I do think IMS Global presents us opportunities to do stuff with credentials that WC3 will not, because we can get more specific and drill down faster into a sector quicker. I think if we're going to do that, we should also look for a healthcare forum that we could conceivably work on as a yes and. But I think we ought to put it back to these guys. That, you know, they say, well, where's his door? You know, he says, no one's been knocking on his door.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell me where his door is. I got some people to knock on it.
Right.
You know, is it just a numbers game with him? He wants money. You know, I'm not quite sure what he's interested in exactly. That makes consensus is reached. But if consensus is people speaking their mind without knowledge and without any depth of background on it, and I have to appease them, I want a different game.
Yeah, it's not that. We didn't get any kind of consensus. So there's a pre-consensus finding discussion that happens, and unfortunately that ate up all of our time because there was such strong and uneducated response to what we were proposing. So that is not how consensus happens at W3C. It happens much more in the way that you outlined, right? It is, this is what we would like to do, who's in opposition to it, and what can we do to remove that opposition, right? And what I was trying to do by day three was get us to at least collect some kind of consensus position of the group. and we were blocked from being able to do that vote, mainly because the group was there to figure out exactly what the web payments charter is going to, should be. And because they didn't feel that we were quite there on day three, they removed everything else from the agenda, which is everything else non-critical path from the agenda, which was the credentials stuff.
Well, I don't blame them for that. They got to get their work done.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because I think that if we could have given the room 10 minutes, we would have gotten consensus. But that's, you know, that's unfortunate.
Is there an interim process? Can you ask between meetings or not?
Yeah. We can definitely ask between meetings. It's just much easier to have everyone in the same room and say yes, and then, you know, go to the planning stuff. It takes longer in the interim.
Is the next opportunity CPAC? Is that the event that you mentioned earlier?
The next opportunity is the next couple of weeks. So I think I'm going to go back to the web payments group and just start pushing them really hard to come up with some kind of position on the credential stuff, because I feel like we almost got there. And this really has to do with, you know, next steps. So we should not wait as long as TPAC. We want something to happen at TPAC, you know, whether it's a discussion around chartering in maybe the first meeting, like a non-official first meeting. That's an option, but I think what I'd like to still shoot for is the first credential working group meeting by TPAC. I don't think that's off the table yet. So if we can get a set of charters together by the end of July so that the W3C is reviewing them by August, I still think that we could probably create a working group by TPAC. But that means that we're really going to have to focus on recruiting and just going out there and aggressively getting new people to come in and then email the CEO of W3C directly asking them why they're not doing something, you know, related to credentials. Sonny's got a question in IRC. Previously, we were talking about fast-track status to a working group. What happens to the planning work we've done to make this happen? I believe so, Sonny. I don't completely understand the question, but I think what you're asking is, you know, is all the work that we've done to this point is it wasted, or can we reuse a lot of it? And I think that the answer to that, if that's the question you're asking, I think it's we can reuse a lot of it. We're not, whether or not we're on a fast track or a slow track, we need to effectively do the same amount of work. It's just we're doing the work that an interest group would do right now. So the community group is doing the work that an interest group would be doing if it were created. So that's why I was responding to Richard earlier. All the work that we've done over the last year is still absolutely necessary before we get a working group done. So I think the only real remaining thing for us to do, at least to see if we can do a fast track working group, is to get the recruits in. We need to get, you know, acknowledgement from organizations that they would participate in the work and or join W3C. And to answer your question, Richard, you know, what does the W3C CEO care about? He cares about new members, very large new members paying membership fees to W3C so that he can hire the people to ensure that this whole process is successful. W3C does not like chartering work unless they can see success, and their metric is if they can see around 30 organizations that will participate in the work, that gives them a pretty good idea that the work will be successful.
Manu, do we have a prospect list that we would go after for this kind of recruiting exercise?
We do, and I can share that with you after the call. So we definitely have a prospect list, and we basically need to execute on that prospect list very quickly. So good morning, I think
this is Nate.
Go ahead, Nate.
Could you give me an idea? I mean, I guess I think you put recruiting a little bit later in the agenda as well. Would you rather talk about it a little later? I think we could really use some just like basic to-dos on like what each of the people on the call can do to actually make the recruiting happen and what the process is.
Yeah. So let's talk about recruiting at the last part of the call. So let's do, if we could, Nate, let's get an update from the Badge Alliance, and then we'll talk about recruiting in the last 15 minutes of the call. Would that work for you?
Sure.
Okay. Any other questions on the web payments face-to-face or what happened before we move to the Badge Alliance updates? Okay. Next up, Badge Alliance updates. Sunny or Nate, could either of you give us an update?
Yeah, I can take it.
Okay.
So I can't give you major updates, but I can give you some minor updates and the promise of many future updates. So on June 10th in Los Angeles, we organized a meeting. So MacArthur and the Mozilla Foundation were the main instigators of the meeting, and they contracted with me from Concentric Sky to actually make it happen, bring a bunch of the people from the Badges ecosystem into the room, either actually in this hotel basement where the fire alarm went off and the lights went out, Wi-Fi didn't work, or by a conference call. And so several others joined by conference call, including Eric. And the goal was to figure out how MacArthur and Mozilla can support the Badges community, particularly the Badge Alliance, going forward. Especially with the development that the digital media and learning portfolio within MacArthur was announced to just be spun out into a new organization that is in the process of finding its feet and getting totally organized to start being the core supporter of Badges. So all the Badges work from within MacArthur had come from the DML portfolio, and now that portfolio is going to be a spin-out outside of MacArthur, sort of codenamed NewOrg. And so the goal of the meeting was to sort of start the process of coming up with recommendations of, okay, so we have this transition point. What is the what can we do to make sure that the Badge Alliance most effectively supports the necessary work going forward? And so I've been reaching out to some of the folks here on this call, and I will continue to do that, just sort of around like how the Badge Alliance needs to act and what they need to focus on in order to make sure that the right supports for developing the standard are built. And I think where we're leaning is toward a greater focus on the technical specification itself. And, you know, just bringing in more technical voices and focusing a little bit more on that, because we've done a really great job of bringing in lots of use cases, educational institutions that are using Badges, and now we just really need to deliver on high-quality actual experiences and implementations that are very nicely interoperable, and then also providing, you know, support for this W3C group or, you know, whatever work these people continue to do. Badge Alliance needs to be involved to make sure that everything is smooth and good. So there will be future announcements. I'm basically writing up recommendations to provide to NewOrg, which is the code name for this spinoff, and there will be some future announcements coming out about exactly like what they choose to do support, but they are strongly committed to making Badges and you know, online verifiable credentials part of a, you know, transformed education life. Sunny, was there anything that that I missed from that meeting that you think this group should know?
No, that sounds good. Thanks, Nate.
Cool, yeah. And so if anyone from this call is interested, the Badges community has their weekly call at 9 a.m. Pacific tomorrow. And so you can get the info on that on the Open Badges hashtag on Twitter or the Open Badges Google group. And we'll probably talk a little bit more there and then a little bit more again next week.
Okay. Do you know when we'll be able to kind of see the full announcement? Is there a time frame for that?
we're working on the time frame right now, but in the next couple weeks, we'll have the full announcement out and ready to share about you know, because this process will occur in a couple different waves. I mean, there's a little bit of wayfinding going on at the moment, and then from there will be more official announcements.
Okay.
Once the wayfinding is over and actual actions are going to be undertaken.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Nate. Thank you, Sunny, for the update.
Thanks for subscribing.
No problem. Let's see. Next topic is recruiting. So focus on recruiting new members. Okay, so Nate, your question was, what can people do on this list to help recruit? And I think where we were was drafting this recruiting letter, and the recruiting letter is not done yet. So we need to get that recruiting letter done. So that's one option. The other option is that people in this group can kind of take the basis for the recruiting letter and rewrite it however they think would be appropriate to get people into the credentials, CG at first, and then the official working group work. You know, the first one is kind of more centralized. We have one unified vision. The second one is kind of a divide and conquer. Everyone kind of chases the leads that they have. With that said, comments on which way people would like to do recruiting?
Manu, just a pointer on this. This is Eric speaking. So I'm more in favor of trying to craft your own letter, being that, in a sense, I see this as sort of personal invitations using my Rolodex, if people remember what those are, you know, and be able to call upon people who I know in the industry, sort of at a peer-to-peer level. I'm just wondering, is there any concern about consistency and message that we need to be aware of just from a WC3 process? You know, that's the only thing I have a concern. Obviously, I don't want to make representations that are not consistent with what everybody else is saying. That's my only question.
Yeah, you might have a basic template to start with, and we can all jazz rip off that.
Yeah, so let me get that
basic
template.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea to sort of have a standard set of talking points that we're all trying to push, because it could be that more than one of us hits the same person. We want them to hear the common story.
Got it. Let me get...
Although I think you're right. We may not have to perfectly wordsmith it. Let's get down to kind of a set of 3 to 5 statements that we all really believe in as value positions, and then we can craft those into a note of our own making as we go out to our contacts.
Okay, so here is the executive summary that we have right now. So this is Open Credentials Executive Summary. We also have a specific recruiting letter that I know Brian Sletten and Joe Kaplan are working on. Matt, you had asked who are we trying to recruit. So here's a recruiting list, current recruiting list. Is that right? So in IRC, there's the current recruiting list of people that we're currently pursuing. So I think we've got around 15 people from W3C now that have said that they would definitely support and join the work. And I still owe Richard and Eric the list of people that have not responded yet. So if you scroll all the way to the bottom, Matt, you'll see the new large W3C members that we're trying to get on board and people that have signed up for them, and the new smaller W3C members and the people that have signed up for them. So if there is an organization that you are going to pursue, please put it on the list. Go ahead and edit the document, put it on the list so that we can keep track of where we are with all these folks. Okay, so what I'm hearing is...
question, Matt. Eric speaking here. I heard a comment saying about having people both hitting the same prospects. Should we try to avoid that? Or should we, you know, I thought the idea is that each one of us were going to sign up, quote unquote, you know, for who we think we can recruit in. It doesn't hurt to hear stereo from multiple people that you trust. But I want to make sure I'm okay with that, but or not. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think this is clearly up for discussion. I think the best strategy would be that we don't talk to them at the same time. But for example, I have reached out to a number of W3C members. Some of them may have been too busy to respond to me. So I know who those people are. And if we have somebody else that can follow up and say, hey, we're really interested in you joining the credential stuff, I think that might be a good way to go about it. I don't think we want to hammer one company with like four different people contacting them at the same time, because then they might get confused about who they're supposed to be having the discussion with and things of that nature. So I think sign up to, you know, chase after an organization, you know, chase after them, and if you hit a point where you're not getting a good response, then we'll find out who to hand it off to in the group so that they can then chase up with those people. Does that seem like a reasonable strategy? Anyone have a better idea? I guess, are there any objections to doing it that way? This is just spitballing. We don't know if this is... if people would be okay with this or not.
Hey, this is Nate. I'm pretty fine with that. I think we probably should move pretty quickly on it, though, so that, you know, on our weekly calls for the next several weeks, we can just sort of have an agenda item of like, hey, updates on which one of these ones we need to hand off, maybe, so that we can actually make sure that those letters are going out at a reasonable speed.
Okay. Yep, agreed. So we will, you know, I think recruiting is our primary focus. That's the reason that at least W3C staff said that they did not feel comfortable moving on this. So I think we should just get them the list and say these are the people that are saying that they will join. And that should at least get us past this, you know, W3C management and staff contact having a concern about there not being enough interest in it to start an official group. Okay. Any other comments or concerns about the recruiting stuff?
I have a question. I'm sorry if these are things you guys have already covered. I'm just new to the group. What kinds of organizations do we want to target for this? Do we have kind of a formula that we used or an algorithm we kind of used to make this list of who would be good prospects and who aren't?
There are the organizations that are going to be convincing to W3C, and those are very large, multinational, deep-pocketed organizations, right? So W3C cares about those organizations because they will be paying the most W3C member fees, right? And they have the engineering resources to participate. So from a W3C perspective, that's what they want to see. From a get the work done perspective, like the organizations that actually end up, you know, statistically, the organizations that end up doing the grunt work of getting the standard done are smaller organizations. So we're talking organizations less than 50 people that can send an engineer to participate. It's a core part of their business, and so they have an enormous amount of skin in the game. So those are the two types of organizations that we're trying to get into the work. Did that help, Matt?
It does. And when we're talking to the larger groups, do we Do we have the expectation from them to be a lot more than, you know, a voice in the chorus for how important this is? Are they, do they, is the expectation they send people in a really active, or does that matter as much as the dues?
So there's a message that, you know, the message we typically talk send to large organizations is the dues are a secondary thing, right? The thing that's most important is, you know, this is a critical part of your organization's next generation products, right? So the large organizations that we're recruiting are going to be impacted in some large way with the credentials identity stuff, right? So if you can't figure out how to make that argument to the large organization, more than likely they're not a good candidate for recruiting. So for example, you know, for Pearson and ETS, clearly this is in the critical path of some of your next generation products. Right. So that's, you know, it's not a hard sell to get ETS and Pearson involved here. Whereas if you're trying to get a university like, you know, just to pick on somebody, University of Miami involved, they may not have that much interest in participating in the standardization activity because they're just going to end up using whatever ends up being standardized. So when you go to a large organization, I think the main thing to do to sell them on it is this is going to be a part of your core product. We know that there's some product line that is going to be affected with the work that we're doing here, and therefore you should really take the time to be involved in the work so that when the standard's complete, you understand how to build your products around it. Did that help at least as far as a positioning kind of statement goes with those
organizations? Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
No problem. Okay. Any other questions about recruiting or how we're going to go about it?
I don't know if this helps, but you know, we had that ecosystem map that gave categories of companies, and I can't remember which your recruiting list covered all those, Manu. You know, we had like background screening, human capital management, portfolio. You know, we had a list of those categories.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think Eric, I think you have Eric Korb, you have a list, I remember a graphic in one of your presentations that kind of covered all that stuff. Do you know?
Well, that's our graphic.
Document?
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
He does.
Okay. So yeah. So yeah.
But I think that lends some structure to the discussion. Is all I'm trying to say. Give these categories, and if people know people in the categories, if not, then we can split the category up. You know, if no one knows, you know. People at Oracle, although I think
right.
You do because of the WC3, you've got one right there.
Yep.
Oracle with their whole stack, there's two groups. IBM's another one with Conexa.
Yeah.
You've got Kaleo, you know, those groups. So, I mean, if no one knows those people, we can just split them up amongst ourselves.
Yeah. So Oracle and IBM are already on board. Oracle and IBM are already on board. I know they're WC3C staff contacts really well, so they're AC reps.
There's a lot of Fair Credit Reporting Agency covered, you know, Fair Credit Reporting Act covered entities, FCRA. It requires a lot of work with credentials because it relates to various things that trigger off into employment, hiring, and credit extension.
Yep.
So that's it's interesting to see who's in that group because there are some surprises. You might get some unexpected recruits out of the kind of people that you would not otherwise think about being caring about this. So.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, so I completely agree. I think at this point, we should try to coordinate less and just go out there and do it, right? So if you have an idea on a vertical that you think might be interesting addition, just go after them. Don't try and, you know, clear it with the community. See if you can get them involved. Because the more organizations we have involved, the more compelling or more convincing it will be to W3C that they should start it sooner than later.
Is there a role for organizations that aren't technology providers or service providers? Maybe a couple of key credentialing organizations, the issuers themselves, that are going to rely on this kind of capability where they're already struggling with validating and verifying the credentials in their professional space?
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. Okay. So the answer to that is yes. And the W3C involvement doesn't necessarily need to be purely technical. Having people from, you know, the business side of things is a very good thing. The other examples of W3C activities, like, for example, the payments activity, have people from the security domain heavily involved. They have people from the privacy domain heavily involved. We have consumer protection folks that are involved as well. So they try to get a holistic group of people together to work on the standard rather than just purely technology providers. So yes, we need, you know, if it seems like, you know, a group would be positively impacted by the work that we're doing here, even if they're not a technology provider or a solution provider, it would be very good to have those folks involved.
Great.
I mean, it's fair to say that education, no institutions are, you know, absolutely part of that ecosystem, and the fees to get in are very, very attractive too. So there's no reason why, just like at IMS Global, we have educational institutions that are participating. I don't see any reason why we wouldn't want them here too.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely right. The problem that we've had with universities is that they find it really hard to send representatives to participate in the work. I don't know why. I think part of it has to do with the churn. You know, all the professors are really busy, as are their IT staff, and so the people that end up showing up are typically graduate students, and they tend to only stick around 2 years before they get their PhD and leave. But that said, we've had some really good contributors come from universities. So, Eric, you're absolutely right. The fees are very low for a university to join, and if a university is involved in this, you know, the future of credentials stuff, future of credentials, future of badging stuff, then they are definitely another potential recruit. So yeah, it's very cheap for them to join. So that is one. You know, another way that we could get folks that want to see credentials happen in the room. Okay, so just to wrap up, we've got 4 minutes left in the call. I think, unless anyone objects, I think we're going to shift into recruiting mode, and we're just going to try and get as many people recruited into the work as possible, the purpose being that we need to convince W3C that there is a broad community that wants to see credentialing and badging happen as soon as possible, right? We don't want to wait for the financial folks to make it a priority.
That almost sounds like a key differential too, is we want people who prioritize this that aren't in finance.
Right. Yep.
And is the goal to have these people contact the CEO of W3C directly, or to provide us with, you know, give us an okay, and then we send them, we send a list to Jeff Jaffe? What's the goal?
I think let's do the first thing. Sorry, the second thing. So don't email Jeff directly. He will hate me if I tell people to do that. Let's get a list together. I've got a list. We've got a questionnaire out there that people can fill out. So if you look at the bottom of that executive summary that I linked to earlier in IRC, there is a confirm your support for the group link, and they can fill out a questionnaire. That's all they have to do, and then we will have them down as saying that they want to participate. And we can collect all the names there. And once we hit 30, we can send it to Jeff and the staff contact. And if at that point they say, I don't know, then, you know, we'll kind of turn up the heat and say, listen, you guys are not, you know, I don't know. Anyway, let's cross that bridge if we get to it. But I think the first thing is just let's collect all these names and organizations that are committing and that want to commit to the work. Get that bundle together, send it off to them as quickly as we can, and then see what the response is there. Did that answer your question, Dave?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Anything else? Any other business that we need to discuss before the call next week? Okay. Thank you, everyone, for the call and the ideas and helping to step up and recruit people. I think let's start ASAP. So if you get off of this call and the next thing you do is pick up the phone and call somebody to recruit them, that would be fantastic. Our next call is next Tuesday, same time. We'll do an update on the recruiting and then see everyone on the mailing list in the interim. Okay. Thanks, everyone. Have a great week. Bye.
Thanks.